Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 545. And we're in the book Ba'avas Aleih by Moshe Hershkowitz, where this is the last shir on the attachment theory aspects. And we're going to talk about the fear of abandonment and control. Now, one of the symptoms of this insecurity and anxiety disorder is the fear of abandonment that is accompanied by a strong need to be in control. Because perhaps a person suffering from such a disorder lost someone in their past, maybe separation experience of divorce or death, and may blame themselves for it. And they'll make sure psychologically in their makeup that the situation should never occur again by keeping a tight lid on their relationships, and thus they'll be overly controlling. So the insecurity associated with the fear of abandonment can ruin relationships, though. Can hold back an individual from living a normal married life. Abandonment issues beginning in childhood, sometimes as a teenager, when they lose one or both of their parents, and even if they're both alive, they may have not gotten emotional support or love or guidance or care for healthy development, and they're left with feelings of abandonment. And as these children grow up, they become extremely sensitive to rejection. And people with this disorder interpret even innocent comments and actions as rejection. For example, a person chooses to spend time with their friends instead of their husband or wife. The husband or wife may perceive this as abandonment. If a wife stays out late, forgets to call the partner, they'll suffer a fear of abandonment. They may get extremely anxious, even paranoid. You have highly sensitive people are prone to this, prone to feeling abandoned by their spouses. Sometimes, unfortunately, they are vulnerable to unhealthy, toxic people. And that happens. But even with normal marriages, with normal people, an HSP, a highly sensitive person, will be more prone to feeling those feelings of abandonment, and they need to learn how to work through it. And if these feelings continue to linger, then this abandoning, quote-unquote, their spouse to go out with friends will be etched in their mind. They'll start questioning, do we really have a relationship? Basically, a real hyper-overreaction. And they'll start to feel unloved. They'll start to feel unworthy. They'll even start feeling anger and resentment. And they may want to control it to save themselves. They'll start smothering their partner. Become intensely jealous if they spend free time with anyone else, including their friends. People with this disorder, which is again the fear of abandonment and control, having control, they fear that if their partner, their husband or wife, is not dependent on them, they may leave them and they'll become abandoned once again. Just like they experienced that abandonment in childhood, they'll experience it again when their spouse leaves them. They're fearful of that. They may believe unconsciously that at the end people will always let them down or leave them or desert them or forsake them. And these thoughts allow them to justify why they live defensively and why either they would leave the relationship early or try to be overly controlling. And they're constantly looking out for signs and proofs that they're right and that their spouse cannot be trusted, even if it's not true. You see, this is why, besides the therapy, just the idea of emunah and betachin in Hashem and working through that process of building yourself up that way by relying on Hashem and seeing your good points and not overreacting that way to perceive things as abandonment when they're not abandonment is very connected to one another. Now, he says fascinating, and it's a premise that Rabbi Hershkowitz sees from his experience, that couples inherently have the healing powers of one to the other. Even though Rabbi Tversky said a marriage is not a hospital. I mean, you don't expect marriage to heal all your problems. That is true. But nevertheless, if one does their self-work, each one has that connector, that opposite force that actually is a healing catalyst for the other. And Hashem sets up this healing process. So, for example, he says, an individual that has abandonment issues will often marry someone who has a need for independence. What happens when Hashem arranges something like that? It's challenging, but it forces them both to face and work through those childhood fears and emotions. They may not even be aware of their abandonment fears because these feelings remain in that unconscious portion of their cognition in their minds. And sometimes, even right after Shev Brachas, the one who's prone to feel the abandonment will react when the other partner exerts their independence. They'll feel they're left behind. So right after Shev Brachas, one of them has that fear of abandonment. The other one is more independent. The one who feels that abandonment will feel threatened by that other spouse's independence. And what happens is the ones who are suffering from this fear of abandonment, they're emotionally blinded to their own oversensitivity. They don't realize that they're beginning to smother their partner. And they fall into a self-fulfilling prophecy that they believe their spouse will abandon them. And ultimately, often they do because you're smothering them because of your own fears. That's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy or self-projection, meaning you're expecting something to happen in the future and it materializes only because your behavior is you're behaving that way. In other words, you're self-projecting, you're assuming your needs won't be met, and you're assuming that, and that creates that downhill spiral, which has to be worked through to be prevented. So he gives an example here of a couple he calls Razi and Yoni. Soon after the wedding, Yoni made it quite clear that Razi has to listen to him always, not her family. He explained to her that he was looking out for her best interest. He cared about her more than her own family, and that as long as she listened to him, everything would be fine. Why was he doing this? Seems like a control freak. But you see, there's two types of control freak. Superficially, you think he's just an arrogant, self-centered person that's totally self-absorbed. But in reality, it's stemming from a deep fear of abandonment. He was abandoned from early childhood, was not aware that he needed to work out those abandonment issues, and he was not aware also that Hashem created situations that two people that are very unlike each other would be together in order to promote healing. So Razi, the wife, said, "No way, I'm not listening to you. That you're going to be totally controlling my life. I have a family. I have my own opinions. We work together, but I'm not going to listen to everything you say. I'm not going to listen to your demand that you're telling me you care about me and at the exclusion of my whole family and that I always have to listen to you." And she rejected that. And he thought he needed to end the marriage. She's refusing. But what he didn't comprehend, is that she, Razi, or his wife, had needs of her own, and one of them is to be self-sufficient and independent. Somehow, Yoni had this perception that her need, his wife's need for independence, was as a result of her family's interference, and that she would leave him going back to her family. Real unrealistic thoughts, unrealistic and wrong thoughts that are not based on reality, but those feelings were real to Yoni. And that's why he became needy and clingy and tried to control Razi, causing her to pull away and defend her need to be self-sufficient and to be independent. So her opposition to him, Razi's opposition to Yoni, caused him to cling even harder, to try to control her even more. And she felt more stifled by that. And she would react by staying out later, or not bothering to call, or hanging out with her friends more. So you see how out of control this relationship can get when they both unconsciously need to heal their childhood wounds. There's a reason why Yoni felt abandoned and feels too clingy and controlling over his wife, and his wife's self-sufficiency also, no one cared about me, and I have to take care of myself type of thing. Or it could be in a healthy range, whatever it is. But this tug of war or power struggle is the problem. And they need to overcome those fears. And it's not impossible. It's not impossible to overcome the fear of abandonment. Baruch Hashem, these ways to heal, self-work, siyata d'shmaya, of course, tefillah. In this case, Yoni needs to confront what his fear of abandonment is, realizing that the refuah, a lot of it, is to indeed give his wife space, to spend time with her family, with her friends. It's not going to threaten her love for him. It's hard. She's away. She forgets the call, whatever it is. He needs to work through it. And she will feel more loving towards him because she doesn't feel choked by his love now. She doesn't feel controlled by his love now. So they have to work through these things. In the last paragraph, I'll quote the last paragraph of Rabbi Hirschkowitz's chapter on attachment theory, which is chapter 8. And he says as follows, our subconscious minds guide us to relationships that replicate our childhood experiences because those are the issues we need to resolve in life. Through marriage, Hashem gives us a second chance to find peace and healing. The love built up in a relationship is the most powerful tool to create enough safety so that our past wounds can come to the surface and begin to heal. The closer we get to our partner, the closer we are to making ourselves whole again. You know, this is a real deep, 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 powerful concept. You know, there's so much built into the words of the Torah, E'es alay ezer kenegdai. And the ezer kenegdai, we have trouble with the kenegdai. Because the kenegdai causes us pain. The kenegdai causes us discomfort. Forces us to get out of our comfort zone. But very often, the things that we do not like, the things that bother us a lot, of something that is there in our spouse, externally looks like it's an opposing force, just trying to get us aggravated, and we have to overcome it and swallow it. You see, we make that mistake often, that even on the kenegdai aspect, even if we're matzliach in overcoming it, it's a nisayin, it's a kenegdai, meaning it's a negative thing, and we have to swallow it and be a savlan. And if we work on ourselves, we'll do that and we'll overcome it. And ultimately, there'll be shalom. And there's truth to that to a certain degree. But we don't go deeper and recognize that very often these very conflicts and these very things that shake us or make us uncomfortable is what shapes us to become the person we need to be and is shaping us to heal. And to develop as a healthy human being. And that is something that, you know, a person may not realize in the first year of marriage or even the first 5 years of marriage, but if they really work hard at it and they look internally and they do their best, they daven and they work through things, over time you look back, you'll realize that the kenegdai was the biggest bracha to create that ezer. So that is the key. So it's very important to recognize this. And he says very often people come to him and people come to many people. They want to end the marriage. And in reality, they just want to stop the pain. And they think that the only way to stop the pain is to end the marriage. And very often, to stop the pain is not to end the marriage. To stop the pain is to recognize where the pain is coming from. What wounds are there that need healing, and how each one can help the other heal those wounds. So marriage indeed is not a hospital. It has to start from one's own inner work. But when one does one's own inner work and they help each other with things, they'll provide for each other a great amount of healing and growth and tremendous bracha. Bracha v'atzlacha.